The Lord be with you.
Amen.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Mary set out in those days and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Most blessed are you among women, and blessed the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believe that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." The Gospel of the Lord. One of the most tempestuous times in the history of Catholicism was in the 16th century, but now even more so. So what did God do in the 16th century? He allowed Martin Luther, he allowed John Calvin, he allowed John Huss, he allowed John Zwingli, Melanchthon, he allowed Henry VIII. He allowed all these individuals to basically allow, because of the wrong teaching, many people exiting from the Catholic Church. And I mentioned about 8 of the principal Protestant reformers. And of course, Luther would be number one. He was a Catholic priest, Augustinian priest. Those are difficult times. But what God did was he raised up some of the greatest saints in the Catholic Church. I just finished listening really good documentary by the Augustinian Institute on the Counter-Reformers. And they were Thomas More, maybe you've heard of him. Saint Ignatius Loyola, I think you've heard of him. St. Philip Neri, the second apostle of Rome, and the great, and I say the great, Charles Borromeo, one of the greatest cardinals in the history of Catholicism, and hopefully your friend, Francis de Sales, and Teresa of Avila. But also at this time, when Ignatius founds the Company of Jesus, there's a lot of saints that are living in the 16th century. Francis Xavier. Also, the other companion of Ignatius, Saint Peter Favre, and the saint that we celebrate today. And his name is Saint Peter Canisius. Saint Peter Canisius was born in Holland. And he was brought up and raised by a good family. His father was mayor of the town for many, many years. And he was studying law. Did you know that Francis de Sales was a lawyer and that Saint Alphonsus was a lawyer and Saint Raymond Peñafort was a lawyer? And St. Charles Borromeo was a lawyer. They all had double degree in law, like a double doctorate, civil law and canon law. Very interesting. And God is going to use them to become some of the greatest writers and preachers and doctors of the church. So God, as Thomas Aquinas says, God does not destroy nature but builds upon it. So what about this man? You probably don't know too much about Peter Canisius. I would be surprised if you did. But he is a doctor of the church. He was going to be a lawyer. Guess what happened? The greatest giver of the exercises, master of the exercises, aside from Saint Ignatius, gave him the exercises. That was Saint Peter Fabre, who was a companion of Ignatius. He gave him the exercises, and he, as a result of that, he wanted to become a priest. So it was through the exercises. Ignatius took him through the spiritual exercises, and he decided to become a priest. And he was ordained a Jesuit priest. What he's most famous for, possibly, is the fact that he was a writer. And you had the errors of Protestantism that were disseminated all over Europe. So what he did was he started to write catechisms. So he wrote popular catechisms, not highfalutin, you know, abstract, but very concrete catechisms, like the Baltimore Catechism in the United States. Very clear catechisms. And he started to spread these. So this was stemming the tide of the errors. So he was known to be one of the principal fighters against Protestantism in the 16th century. And the Protestants were afraid of him because they knew he was so eloquent, so intelligent, so calm also, that there's no way that they could defeat someone that was so highly prepared to defend Catholicism. And more I'm becoming aware of this, is that you people, as well as myself, we have to study our faith more. We have to learn our faith better. We have to. It was Protestantism back then. Today, there are so many heresies today that I don't know where to start. So many heresies. But I'd say the three that you people have to really know well. One is the heresy of, well, the heresy or the moral error of abortion. All of us should be keenly aware of the problem and be willing and ready to defend human life at every moment. And give arguments. Not just say, you believe in abortion, you're going to go to hell. That's not good enough. It's not going to get you anywhere. Reasons why abortion is wrong. Second, why the same-sex marriage, the homosexual agenda, is wrong. Give reasons why it's wrong. Give reasons. Give biblical reasons, medical reasons, psychological reasons, sociological reasons. Give reasons why it's wrong. Why it's wrong. Not just a spur of emotion and just a lot of bad words you're launching at people. No, but give them intelligent reasons why that's wrong. Why it's damaging to the individual. Why it's damaging to the family. Why it's damaging to the society. Why it's very hurtful to God. We have to be well educated, like this great saint. And you've got all the literature you want. It's out there. It's a question of knowing how to get the good book, get the good websites, get the articles, get the material. We have to study our faith. We can't be ignorant today. And then, finally, the biggest heresy within the church would be that of the dictatorship of moral relativism. That's the biggest problem within the church. Now, what is the dictatorship of moral relativism? It means they have a lot of Catholics that are cafeteria Catholics. Cafeteria means, you ever go to a cafeteria? You pick and you choose whatever you like. And most Catholics are moral relativists. Now, they're not going to say, hey, I'm a Catholic moral relativist. Here I am. No? They don't even know what that means, but they are. And what that means is that they pick and choose what they like. Well, the Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. I love that one. Psalm 23, John chapter 10. I love that one, huh? I love that one. But the existence of hell, you know, that's kind of a relic of the Middle Ages. That's Geoffrey Chaucer Canterbury Tales. I mean, that's an obsolete fossil of the Middle Ages, no? Oh, I love Our Lady Queen of Peace. But the fact that Father has talked about contraception as being intrinsically evil, I don't like that at all. Oh, I don't like that at all. I don't like that document of Pope Paul VI called Humana Vitae. I don't like Pope Paul VI. I don't like him. That's the way a lot of Catholics are today. They're moral relativists. They're cafeteric Catholics. They pick and they choose. This man was not a cafeteria Catholic. This man was on fire with the love of God. This was a man who did the exercises. This was a man who was faithful to his holy hour. This was a man, I was reading this morning, he was preaching for about 30 years, preaching in Holland, Germany, Italy. And in 30 years, guess how much he traveled, 30 years. He wasn't traveling a Cadillac or Mercedes-Benz, okay? 30,000 kilometers. Can you imagine that? Now, he's traveling 30,000 kilometers. So 1,000 kilometers every year. That's about 550 miles every year. Walking. And he was not in Southern California, my friends. Have any of you ever been to Europe? Any of you ever been in Germany or Switzerland? It can get pretty darn cold there. So he was traveling, either walking on horseback, and he was preaching and preaching and preaching against the Protestants. So he was throwing himself, in a certain sense, into a hornet nest of people that were Protestants. He was preaching against them, and he was converting many, many souls. And one day, he is praying the rosary. And all of a sudden, there she is. There she is. There she is. She's coming to take me. And he died. He had a vision of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And she went to take him to heaven. So one last thought on this man. This is for us. He worked so hard that the people say, slow down and rest. Slow down. Take it easy. You know what he said? I will have all eternity to rest in heaven. Right now is the time to work. So for us, we can rest forever in heaven. In the meantime, we have to work like this great saint to save as many souls as we can. Amen.